Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I love the Lord our God and King. He always speaks from the heart. I thank the Lord for every assignment out there that He gives, that He's behind, because the oil flows from the heart of God. And it's manifested from the seven manifested spirits of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit manifests Himself seven ways. And the Holy Spirit is a person, a spirit. And the Spirit of God manifests seven ways to His people to build the church from the foundation up. Everything the Lord gives is from the foundation up. So whatever, all the information that the Lord is trying to transfer over to us, we have to receive it so that we can build properly. Now, Peter and some of the disciples once asked Jesus to call fire down from heaven. And He said, "You don't know what spirit you are." Whatever they were aggravated with, they just said, "Look, Jesus, call fire down from heaven." He said, "You don't know what spirit you are." They knew that Isaiah did it, and they thought the same situation was fitting for Jesus to do it. But that was two different manifestations in progress. There was no need to do such a war, and there was no need to do such an act of war. Even on the cross, Jesus said, "Father," now this is after they tried to kill Him. And remember, they couldn't kill Him. But their act, they did all they could to kill Him. Their intent was to kill Him. But we know that He laid His life down and He picked it up according to what He said, according to His word. But even in that, Jesus didn't call fire down from heaven. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But the soldiers of Jezebel, they were on her side. They were murderers. They was trying to prevent the Lord from coming to the earth. They were filled with the spirit of Satan. And Satan was trying to destroy all the prophets of God through Jezebel acting through Ahab. You know, Ahab was one of those men that was in the middle of the road. Sometimes he had a heart, it was in his heart to do right, but she always stirred him up, and he always did evil, and he ended up getting killed because of it. But those soldiers, they were intent on destroying the prophets of God. And the last captain in his 50 came, that captain feared God more than the others did. And he said, he asked Isaiah to have mercy on him. And Isaiah went back with him. But the illustration is that we got off on all that was that whatever a person acts on, that's the spirit. There's a spirit behind it. And when Peter asked Jesus to call fire down from heaven, he didn't know what spirit he was on. And the Holy Spirit will never do an act of treachery. He will never do things in a corrupt manner. He will always build on the foundation of God's love, the foundation of God's truth, the foundational things of God's wisdom. All of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are pure. And the order, the guidance, the will of the Father will be done. As we receive the foundational building blocks that the Holy Spirit revealed to us. Never discount the word of the Lord that comes to you. You're going about your daily routine and the Lord starts speaking and teaching you about something. Even though you weren't praying, the knowledge starts coming. The first poem the Lord gave me was called Coming to Life. And I'm going to share with you what happened. I was sitting there on the couch and the thought started coming. I said, hey, God's giving me a message here. And I read, and they didn't stop. Once they started, they continued. I jumped up, ran and got a notebook and a pen and started writing. And he gave me all these things that pertain to coming to life. And then when he stopped, I was still attentive. And then he gave me the first part, and I wrote it at the top of the page. And then I looked at it, I read it. I said, this is some kind of message. And then the topic came up, coming to life. Coming to life. I wrote that at the top. That was the title. And I really didn't know what to do with it. I didn't have an unction of where to minister this message. And I looked at it, showed it to others. They looked at it. They said everybody liked it. It was a synopsis of things that pertain to coming to life. One day I'll share it on the, but it's on the website. It's on the old website, livingletterministries.com. It's on the old site. You can read it today. And I wrote that word, I think it was 1991 when that word came to me. But I wrote it, and it was 90 or 91. Anyway, I wrote it down in my notebook, and I referred to it from time to time. I looked at it, but I didn't have any direction. I really didn't know what to do with it. And a few months later, a few months went by, and I was telling a friend of mine about it. He owned an alternator shop, Eastern Alternator and Starter. It was in East Lake, part of Birmingham. And he used to build alternators for me and starters. And he's a Christian, Dennis Morgan is his name. Now, I went to his shop, I showed him the notebook. He said, man, this is good. He said, man, have this typed up and print a copy for me. And I did. He got the first copy of Coming to Life out there, was typed. So when I went to Office Depot and had it typed up, I typed it up and when I went to get it printed, I didn't just print one page. I just got 100 copies. Well, that week my uncle died. And I had the copies in a notebook, and I showed it to one of my cousins. Wayne Griffith, I showed him, I gave him one. And he read it, he said, man, this will bless the family since Uncle Harry died. He said, why don't you give everybody in the family one? So I passed them out to the family. And then when I went to church, I passed some out at church. Everybody liked it. They said it blessed them. I said, great. Well, then the Lord gave me another word saying, the next one came as an instruction. He said, you need to make strong your confidence. I said, well, Lord, how do I do that? And he gave me a word about making strong my confidence. So I wrote that down. I had that typed up. And then I passed that out to my friends, people at church. And then he gave me another word. I said, hey, this is interesting. It's getting better and better. Right? And then he started giving me something to write every day. Now, this was at a time I was seeking. I had started dialoguing with the Lord, like I talked about in another broadcast. This went on for a couple of years. And that was a time that I was writing a word. I was writing something every day. Every day I wrote a page. I wrote a word every day and titled it. In 1999, over the years, I wrote so many words. In the mid-90s, I would write a word every day. Every day I'd write something. And I wrote so many, I didn't know what to do with them. And I would get them typed up. I started to make a book out of it. I went to North Carolina to a publisher. And at the publisher, I found out who wrote Footprints. There was a pastor in Georgia that wrote. I read the original that he wrote. It was in a book called Gathered Fragments. And the publisher had published it. And he said, "I know who wrote Footprints." I said, "Who?" And he told, it was a pastor in Georgia. And it went viral before the internet was up and running good. This was the early 90s, you know. But anyway, this happened to be the same publisher that Kenneth Hagin used in North Carolina. So anyway, to make a long story short, in 99, the Lord gave me, I was laying across the bed, minding my own business, and he said, "Living Letter Ministries." And from that moment, I knew what to do with all those writings. And I had a direction. One of my first assignments. It wasn't my first assignment. It really wasn't my 10th assignment, but it was one of the early assignments in my ministry. Now, the writings came by the Spirit of God. By the spiritual gift, words of prophecy or prophetic utterance. There are gifts of prophecy. It is a gift of prophecy. But I was writing it down, and that was one of the first gifts to operate in my ministry, discerning of spirits. I remember first, and then the gift of prophetic utterance. But when the Lord gave me a writing, it's the same thing as when he gave me something to speak, except I'm writing it down. And it depends on the unction, but it's the same gift. You know, there's an unction to write and there's an unction to speak. Well, if nobody's around, you either write it in your heart or write it on paper. If I'm in a ministry setting and the Lord wants me to speak it, I speak until the utterance stops. Whether I speak it or write it, it's still prophetic utterance. Anyway, so he gave me Living Letter Ministries, and my assignment was to get people's addresses and the things that I write every year or every quarter, I could send them the writings. Because before he gave me the assignment, he would give me revelation, but I didn't have a way to share it with many people. Sometimes I would meet people and I could tell that they needed some of the revelation I had. In passing, I just couldn't share it, and they used to aggravate me. I used to want to share that word. And sometimes they were strangers and I knew I'd never see them again. And I used to wish I had a way to share with them the information. So, you know, when something aggravates you like that, there's a solution for it. In the last broadcast, we talked about reaching forth. And I wanted something to do. I wanted an assignment. And when you have a message, that message wants out. It wants to go where it's supposed to go. But I didn't have a vehicle to share the messages. So I would tell whatever pastor, when I would go to churches, wherever God would send me, I would tell the pastors if I had a message, if I knew it was for that congregation, I would tell it. And most of the time, they'd make light of it. They all did. And that used to vex my spirit. I hated that. I didn't hate the people. I just hated the situation. And it was very frustrating. It grieved, just like it grieved the Holy Spirit, it grieved me too. Because I knew what the people, I knew what God had given me. And almost 90% of the time, I never got a chance to speak those messages. And then when the time would pass, the Holy Spirit, I would be released from that assignment. But I always went to them and told them. And if there was any way I could share, if I knew somebody in the congregation was a friend, I would try to share whatever I could with that person. But when the time passed on and the audience was gone and dispersed, and the pastor, you know, they wouldn't say no, they just wouldn't ask you to do it. They wouldn't ever give you a date to minister the word. They'd make light of it. And the Lord had already taught me how to love, so I just forgive and keep going. And it, you know, I learned not to let it bother me. And I learned to expect it. I said, I know what, you know, it works that way. I didn't have a vehicle to share the word, but I had the word. And you know, it's kind of like being pregnant. You want to give birth. And only women can understand that analogy. But when you have the word like fire shut up in your bones, a revelation from the Lord, and the enthusiasm and the joy that goes with it, and you don't have a vehicle to share it with the people, it's frustrating. But cold religion always, I'm just going to put it this way. Cold religion is anti-Christ, no matter who is wearing its mask. It doesn't matter who the person is. If cold religion is anti-Christ, just like sin is anti-Christ. The word commanded us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. When something is of God, you can't feel what that person feels. When people have a fresh word, they feel the word, not you. Those pastors, they, unless the Lord told, you know, if it's God, I'm sure God told them that I had a word. But for whatever reason, I didn't preach it because they didn't want me to. Whether it was fear, sometimes people are intimidated by they're intimidated by younger ministers or other ministers or anointed ministers, whatever. I don't know. But I found out, though, the Lord gave me a dream. And I learned from that. After years of going through, I just remembered. The Lord gave me this dream and showed me how they felt. And most of the time, they were intimidated. They saw me as a threat. Because that's the dream he gave me. I had to remember it. They saw me as a threat. But I love them. In my heart, I love them and I love the congregation. I wouldn't have done anything against them. And so, years went by, and then he gave me that assignment, Living Letter Ministries. And I felt alive again. I felt hope again because now I knew I had a sanction from God to do something with it, with the revelation he continually gave me. So I started making my list. I gathered about 50 addresses in a short time. And I put people on my mailing list, and I would mail them those the writings. And then I did it every quarter. And people really, I would get letters how they were blessed by it. And one of my cousins, I found out he stopped drinking because of it. Anyway, but God moved. I was able to share the revelation that the Lord had provided. So I continued. And then I didn't feel as helpless as I used to when I would have a fresh word and couldn't preach it, because I had a vehicle now. And then the Lord instructed me further and told me to certain churches to put on the mailing list. So I did that. And I kept doing it. And eventually he gave me another assignment. He said, I want you to start a radio broadcast. In 2006, I began doing the first Sunday in June of 2006 was the first broadcast of Living Letter Ministries. And that's how the assignments went down. That's how they went up. That's how it all happened. A foundation was dug first. And then the Lord helped me build on that foundation. See, some things will happen. You know, the Lord will show you a need. And he did this thing systematic. Now, let's say he did it backwards. He just said, I want you to start a radio broadcast. And I'm going to give you revelation. He told me everything. All right. If he had done it backwards from the way he did it, I don't know how far I would have gone. I had revelation of what was out there, how people felt. I kept running into petty jealousies, things that I didn't expect from men of God. I didn't think men of God would act the way that they did. But I found out, I learned something that existed that God knew about, but I didn't know about. Because of other experience, I already had a foundation of love, because I asked the Lord about how to love his people. And from there, he built, at the right time, he introduced the things that were necessary. So I was able to continue building on a foundation in greater and greater ways. And to this day, I have no regrets. I was able to do what others could not expect. And I was so thankful. I felt like I was doing something worthwhile for a change. Now, I went years without going through the same problems. And the Lord showed me how I didn't understand why. I thought the pastors would be excited about a fresh word. But they didn't see it that way. And they knew me. These pastors knew me. I wasn't a stranger to them. When, you know, people have their reasons why they do things the way they do. But this time the Lord showed me. He eventually showed me what was happening. The Holy Spirit was doing his job. But through this, I learned something that nobody would ever know, unless they were in this position to learn it. Now, remember, he called me to be an apostle. So he showed me things about the church that truly do exist. Everything the Lord took me, you know, because of the calling, everything the Lord brought to my attention, I took it serious. The reason for that was I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what being an apostle entailed. I didn't know what to do. And I was trying to learn. So I asked the Lord all kind of questions. Whatever he brought to my attention, I learned from it. And he didn't just tell me everything that was out there. He let me experience some things. You know, what I went through, some people have actually backslidden because of, they went through the same thing that I went through. People that they loved and respected didn't take them serious or didn't let a minister. They, all right, when you have a pastor, a relationship has formed. And, you know, by the Spirit of God, you have inspired people. And I know that the Word of God say, Paul instructed Timothy not to send out a novice because they get lifted up in pride. Some people, they cautiously, you know, pastors can be cautious. And I trust them. I mean, they're the people of God. And I get that. But sometimes when, you know, in every relationship, people, you know, you can look up to people and you can think that there's a higher, you know, you feel that the relationship is mutual, so to speak. And you respect that person. You care about that person. And you feel that you assume they care about you the same way. So when somebody say, well, you know, you acknowledge that the Lord gave you something. And sometimes, you know, and they don't get back, they don't give you a reason. They just don't ever give you a chance to minister the word. Well, there are many, many ministers that have gone through that. And they are hurt. Because the pastor that they trusted had seemed to have no confidence in them. And they don't know why. And when you love people, is the best thing you can do for people is be honest with them. And, you know, if you don't feel that they should minister, yeah, sit down and talk with them about it. You know, there's nothing wrong with, but be truthful. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So I said, well, if I decided the way that I've been treated, I said, I'll never treat somebody that way. I didn't know that ministers would do something like that. Now, you know, I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And the things that I faced in life were new. I mean, I thought pastors were different than I found them to be. But the Lord told me right up front, he said, the biggest problem in the church is my people don't follow me. And I understand that, you know, God, Paul told Timothy not to send out a novice. A novice is a man that he has a calling, he has abilities. But the direction, you don't send him out to do the work of a man that's been prepared by God. And there's no age limit. Now, the things I'm saying, the way the Lord does, he's foundational. He will prepare you for an assignment. If the Lord says somebody's not ready, or wait, or, you know, let them do what they can do. People of God desire to serve. They want to do something. And they're when people trust you and they're looking to you and they with trust and they want, you know, they appreciate the God. In other words, it's all about love. Learning to, you know, the Word of God is the knowledge of love. That's the definition of love. So when you are receptive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he won't leave anything out. He'll help you train people at the proper pace. And there's no fear in God's love. In fact, God's love would help. When you attach yourself to God's love, you drive out all fears. Fear in every form. There's no reason to feel intimidated by other men and women of God. Now, some people are very competitious. You know, competitive. Some people are very competitive. But we don't compete against each other. Ministries actually have competed against ministries. And that's not right. That's why when you when one ministry blesses another one, they're operating in love, and you'll see God move in greater ways. But some people do that, and then they'll take, you know, when they're blessed, they want to be God's favorite and God's best. We're God's body. We're one. Now, as an apostle, the Lord was training me. And so everything that's going on, I'm learning. I'm listening. And it would grieve me because I wanted to be a blessing to God's people. I wanted no fame and no fortune. I never charged to preach. And I never will. Unless I have to travel a place I don't have the money for. I'll say, well, I need to ride up there. And if God bless me, I'll go and do it. But it's not about money, and it's not definitely not about fame and fortune. And the Lord knew that about me because he know how I think. He know how I operate. And my motives were pure. But people they don't feel your motives. They just see you. And sometimes people see you as a threat. According to the vision of God, the dream that God gave me, that was the problem. They saw me as a threat. And this is not something that was isolated to me. This was a problem that was out there. And that was a time I didn't even want to meet any more pastors because of this. But the Lord was showing me what was out there. But he is foundational. He knew that I loved them. And the only reason I'm talking about it now is to show you how When you follow the Holy Spirit, he'll prepare you to solve an existing problem that nobody wants to talk about. Now, I'm about out of time again, but we'll pick up here.